This session is entitled Principles of an Effective Sunday School with Brother John Stone. Brother Stone is an assistant pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church, where he oversees the adult Bible classes. This session is part of Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Look in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 28, the passage that we often use, that we often quote about the Great Commission, and it will be our text this morning, this afternoon, okay? If we need some more those brochures, would you mind getting Brother McKinley in the guest services? We have some more of those life stage brochures, and if you just get some more of those for us, you'll want to go to the guest services that's on the left. Not the one on the right. All right, you got Matthew 28. Probably you can quote this, and I'm going to ask you to refrain from looking past it, but let's look at what the command of Christ was in Matthew 28. Verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Pastor Chappell, in the video last night that if you were here, you were able to see it, he declared that the Great Commission was really 4 points: go and win and baptize and teach. And all four of those points are going to come from this verse: go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And as you preach the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Christ is able to affect salvation, and then they're baptized, and then they're teaching. So the model, the precedent for where we would get our Great Commission or our Sunday school is going to come right out of the Great Commission. Now, in your notes today, as you are looking through massive amounts of notes, and many of you will do teacher training, and so I've given you a couple bullet points here, and you can take this and use it. So there's more material here than we could possibly cover in this session, but I would like to give it to you. I'm going to move quickly. I would like to take time at the end, because I know many of you would have questions about how does our church do adult Bible classes, and how do we do our Sunday school, and what practical things can you walk away? Many times I came here as a pastor, and I would walk away from this conference trying to get one or two things that I could implement that were feasible. And so I want to save time at the end for that. Okay, in your notes there, principles of an effective Sunday school, 5 reasons why Sunday schools are not effective. And probably you could guess these as well as I, but see if these aren't true. Number one. One reason that the Sunday school is not effective is because of a scarcity of good models. Think right now of a dynamic Sunday school in your town. Think of name a church with a dynamic, growing, thriving Sunday school. Okay, we have to think. You know, I don't know. Well, I guess there's, you know, Lancaster Baptist, or I guess there's, you know, and then you can fill in the blanks. There is a scarcity of good models. 2 reasons for that. Number one is a lack of exposure to effective Sunday school. How many of you grew up in a church with a dynamic, thriving, growing, reaching, teaching Sunday school? Anyone like that? 2. One of the reasons we don't have effective Sunday schools is because most of us have never seen that. What does it look like? How does it play out? Well, there's a scarcity of exposure. There is a lack of instruction as to the principles of an effective Sunday school. In fact, one of the things that I want to challenge you with at the very end is to train your teachers. If you're not training your teachers, do you know that if you're going to teach in a public education system, you're going to have continuing education units? Most of your businessmen are going to have certifications. If they work for any kind of a computer software company, then every year or two, they're going back and they're doing massive studies. Okay, one of the reasons that our Sunday schools aren't effective is because we take anybody and make them a Sunday school teacher. And once they get the job, they get the job. You know, they're a lifer, and we're not investing much training into them. So that's one of the reasons that it's not effective. Number two is because of cultural indifference. Cultural indifference. Culture is not smiling on Sunday schools. If you're a reader of contemporary writings, Sunday school is not a popular item anymore. Its role has been abandoned in lieu of small groups, and the relevance has been questioned because it's not new. You know, if you're reading behind anybody contemporary, then any writer of today, that's what I would mean by the word contemporary. Any writer of today, they're going to say, you don't need Sunday school. It's old. It's an ancient relic. It's a dinosaur. It needs to be buried. And because it's not new and these other methods are new, well, then Sunday schools typically aren't effective. Number three, there is non-committed leadership. Everyone wants a Sunday school until we start having problems. There are three major obstacles. If you're going to have an effective Sunday school in your church, there are three obstacles. Number one, Sunday school is very expensive. Have you thought about how much money it takes to run a truly effective Sunday school? It's expensive. You got to have curriculum for teachers. And I pray that you're going to look at Striving. I pray that you're going to look here. But by the way, we're not giving it away because the printers don't give it to us. So you say, okay, I'm going to get one for my teachers. I got four adult teachers teaching adult classes. And okay, with cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And then, oh, some of these want students' manuals. And okay, it's very expensive. And that's just the adults. What about all the children? Have you looked at Regular Baptist Press on how much they charge for a child's coloring paper? And it comes with the lesson. And because it's David and Goliath, it's this certain paper. It's very expensive, curriculum for teachers and curriculum for children and resources and promotions and decorations of bulletin boards. If you've got a good elementary teacher, a primary teacher, you know what she wants to do to that room about every month? She wants it changed. And she comes to you and says, Pastor, can I get some money? And, you know, we start to go, you know, I just don't know if we got the money for it. It's very expensive. Number two, it's very expansive. Name one ministry that affects the church like Sunday school. It's expansive. It goes all the way from your nurseries. If you start thinking about you're coming out of your nurseries at twos and threes and fours, and then you go all the way up through the senior saints or the golden eras or the, you know, whatever you want to call them, Sunday school is very expansive. Number three, it is exhausting. It is exhausting to run a good Sunday school program, keeping up with birthdays, keeping up with anniversaries, keeping the rooms clean. Have you ever noticed, and I pastored for 5 years before I came here on staff, have you ever noticed how much damage can happen after 1 hour of Sunday school? Especially if you have a bus ministry. You bring kids in, the walls are marked, chairs are disheveled, the rooms are torn up. If you got a Christian school, the kids got in the desk, all the kids from the Christian school, their crayons are gone. I mean, it's a massive headache. So many times, pastors are just looking at Sunday school and say, I don't know if I'm committed to it. Let's just do it because everyone else does it. You know, if we're a Baptist church, we've got to have it. You know, it's what happens before church. And so we do it, you know, and we're not committed to it. And there are a lot of reasons and a lot of difficulties. Number four, I think number four could be the penultimate reason that Sunday schools are not effective. And that's because we don't know what it is. What is an effective Sunday school? How do you know you got one? Why do you think ours is effective? Well, we say, if we're reaching people, it's effective. Or if our numbers are up, it's effective. Or if we're teaching the Bible, it's effective. Or if they love being together, it's effective. I want us to take the last part of our session today and define what is an effective Sunday school. But most of the time, we wouldn't know. We're unclear on what the objectives are. If you recruited an adult class teacher and then looked at him and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build a class. He's going to look at you and say, when you say build it, do you mean build camaraderie? Do you mean build fellowship? Do you mean build it through the teaching? Do you mean build it bigger? Well, what do you mean? It's uncertain objectives. Number five, many times Sunday schools are not effective because we have an inward perspective. Two words are on your notes there, houseboat and fishing boat. And this comes straight from Alan Taylor in his book. And so this is not mine. But he makes this point that Sunday schools are on one of two extremes. Number one, and let's think for adult Bible classes. Let's not go to children necessarily, but let's think of an adult Bible class. We tend to think of it either as a houseboat or we think of it as a fishing vessel. The average Baptist church thinks of Sunday school like you would think of a houseboat. Do you know who gets on a houseboat? You know, if your family decides to go rent a houseboat, no, we never have. But if I did, I'm not going to look at Brother Waddell and say, hey, Brother Waddell, why don't you bring your family down from Maryland and let's go rent a houseboat together? You know, we don't know each other. You know, almost our classes become us four and no more. I mean, we've been together. We're tight. We've done all this together. We don't want any new people in our class. Well, they don't know what we think. They don't know about our Christmas party. You know, they're probably not going to bring the donuts on the day they sign up to bring the donuts. You know, we tend to look at it like a houseboat as opposed to a fishing vessel. And one of the things that I think you'll pick up from Pastor Chapel is that here, our adult classes are fishing vessels. We just planted, we birthed 13 new ones since January. And what it is, we've taken, you got a teacher, we've given them training, 8 weeks of training, and we've got some pioneers who go with them. We pump it up, we talk to them, we help pioneers to see the vision. We put them together, they build a new class, and you know, their idea is to go out and to fish for more. Our adult Bible, we started 13 new since January, and our adult Bible classes are up almost 7% over the year. That's because when something is old, it gets to be maintenance mode. You know, it gets to be our crew, you know, our buds. And then when you take those out and you branch out new, well, then when you only have six or seven in a class, guess what the people are desperate to do by next Sunday? You know, we're going to get somebody, and we're going to, you know, when a visitor walks in, well, sometimes classes can get larger and a guest can come in and, you know, no one will talk to them because, you know, they're not sitting in their section. So there are a lot of reasons the Sunday schools are not effective. And as you're looking down in that gray box in your notes, one of the key reasons why Sunday school must be so effective. Why would this be an important session for you today? This session is not any more important than any other. And I don't mean to suggest that. And I certainly don't mean it to be anything other than this statement of why should your Sunday school be effective? And why should you be interested to make sure that it is reaching people? Well, five reasons. Number one, about your Sunday school, your evangelism and follow-up usually goes through your Sunday school. When you get a guest into your church and it's a young couple, 29 years old, two kids, and you're going to assign that visit for a Tuesday night visit, do you look at Grandma Esther and Uncle, you know, Gerald, to go make a visit on a 29-year-old couple with kids? Our evangelism, our follow-up goes through our Sunday school class. If we've got a young couple visiting our church, guess who we're sending to visit that young couple? Yeah, somebody who already knows what diapers cost and who's got their kids in a daycare. And you know, they're thinking about, they have common interest. Five reasons why evangelism and follow-up should go through your Sunday school, which just promotes the idea of why it has to be effective. Number one, it is the most natural ministry to implement evangelism. What other ministry, think of all the ministries you have. What are the ministries that are in a church? Number one, you have what? What do you have? Music. Youth, bus, soul winning, absolutely. And we're going to dovetail that one into this. We're going to say soul winning's a part, and it is the staple. It's the engine that runs our Sunday school. Nursery, children's choir, Awana, or kids club, or master club, or whatever you want to have. You can't recruit people to that. For instance, two choir members go out on soul winning. They say, hey, I want you to come join our choir. Really? You know? Really, you're going to do that? The guy's got long hair and tattoos, and he's got three earrings in his ear. Do you recruit somebody for your choir? Well, no. Sunday school is the area, and it's the forum that is the best way to implement evangelism. Number two, it has the best follow-up mechanism because of age-specific groupings. When you have a Sunday school teacher of a four-year-old visiting that four-year-old, it makes more sense than two senior saints visiting a four-year-old who happened to come to the class. It's the age-specific follow-up. Number three, Sunday school is the only ministry where guests are immediately welcome. Two people walk up into your choir on Sunday morning, and they get ready right before you sing. Do you look at them and go, so glad you're here. Sit right here on the front. Can we get you something? Say, I'm going to get the microphone away from you. You can't, your bus ministry, can you go out and say, hey, I want you to come and work in our bus ministry? Not without background checks, not without screening. I mean, your nursery workers can't go out recruiting, you know, say, hey, I want you to come work in our nursery. I mean, really, Sunday school is the only ministry in your church. And you think about this. It's the only ministry where you are welcoming guests to come in and to get involved. You don't get involved right in the video or the media, or this. You don't put them on the sound booth on week number two. I'm glad you're here. Could you sit back here and control the lights and the volume? This is why our Sunday schools have to be so effective, because it is the only ministry that is welcoming immediately when a guest walks in. Pastor Chapel buys all of the adult teachers in our church business cards, and they will look, now this is my card, but they will look just like this, and on this card it will say, my class is Crosspoint. So it says Crosspoint, a class for couples, and it's got the time, and then on the back of it, it's got a picture of my wife and I, and it's got some information about the Bible classes. He will hand one of these to every single adult Bible class teacher, and so that way when people walk in the back, they see somebody in their life stage. I mean, you know, we have to be careful. It's not like a car lot, you know. Five people, get to them. Hey, man, they want you to come to my class. But the Sunday school is the only effective ministry for reaching people and getting them in. By the way, this is a practical thing, and I'll give us more of those at the end. Sunday school, number four, has an invitation, or your Bible classes here have an invitation to small groups, which has much more appeal than an invitation to blend into a large group. Now, I pastored a church of 300s, and I'm going to say this. I looked at a Lancaster Baptist church, and I thought, oh, it'd be so easy to get people to come to a big church. I mean, all we got is a couple hundred, you know. How easy would it be with, like, 5,000 and two services and dynamic music and music playing on the parking lot, you know, and they just come onto campus, see the palm trees, and go, oh, I'm home, you know? Isn't that kind of what you think when you're in a smaller ministry? Do you know the hardest thing about follow-up? When we go out, people say your church is too what? Yeah, I don't know anybody. I don't even know the people on the other side of the auditorium. Okay, Sunday school is an invitation to a smaller group. And you say, okay, my church only has 100. My church has 80. That smaller group is where life is done. And that is why your Sunday school is an invitation to be involved in the smaller group. Number five, Sunday school has a forum to emphasize Bible study, where the gospel will be heard and understood, and thereby there will be salvation decisions. Now, having said all of that, some reasons why our Sunday schools aren't working, some reasons why it needs to work, I want you to think in two ways now, what the strategy is. Sunday school is a strategy, so what is it, and what does it do? And then we get to the end. I want to be able to take some questions, some down-to-earth, bottom-shelf questions that you're thinking about your ministry. And I pray that as you're going through here, you're thinking, what can I steal? What can I borrow? I don't have to reinvent the wheel. If somebody's got a wheel running, why don't I take a picture of it and come back here and put it in our church? So I want to save some time at the end for us to be able to take some questions like that. So I want you to be thinking of what would be a help to you, okay? Roman numeral one, what an effective Sunday school is. It is strategy. Why does your church have Sunday school? I was reading somewhere the other day, one of the reasons that people don't go to Sunday school, it's because they've already been. Isn't that telling? I've been there. It was boring. You know, all the guy did was, you know, ramble and people nodded off and, you know, nothing. No one talked to me. There was no communication. Sunday school is a strategy. It doesn't work on its own. It is something that we work and that we implement it. The Sunday school is how we tangibly and practically put the Great Commission into action. Think for a minute. Does your church practice the Great Commission? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. In what forum? So, well, two people went soul winning last week. The Sunday school. And now think. Now, let's pull up to about 30,000 feet and let's look down on our church and let's answer the question, how is your church doing the Great Commission? I'm not asking how you do it. I pray you are out soul winning and you're knocking on doors and seeing people saved by God's grace and baptized in discipleship. But what is the strategy for your church to get that done if it's not Sunday school? Okay, so it has to be. The Sunday school is a strategy. When you can look at your however many adult Bible class teachers you have, you look at your teen department, you look at your junior department, and you look at your children's ministry, and now you look at this as a part of a team, How do you get a strategy that reaches people? Alan Taylor said this, and I think it's in your notes. The Sunday school is the church organized to do the work of the Great Commission. The Sunday school is the church organized to do the work of the Great Commission. In our church here, every adult Bible class, my class is called Crosspoint. We have a section that we work and we knock door to door. So we've taken a 1 mile by 1 mile grid. Now, this city is different than East Coast cities. And so if you're from the East Coast, forget this, but it's really neat here, you know. I was in Louisville for 5 years in Northern Virginia. All the roads are this way, you know, and you get a road and it's intersected over there and it intersects over there and it could wind up over in Wetumpka, you know. It's just been a matter of time. Here, everything's 1 mile by 1 mile grids. So what works for us isn't necessarily what for you. But our class has a section on the map and we are responsible for that area. So I got a couple guys in my class the other day. The other week I said, hey man, we got to go out knocking on doors. We got to get this section. And so it is our class goes and we are reaching. And so when people come on Tuesday nights, maybe a couple hundred will come. Soul winning visitation at 6:30. What are you going to give them? When your church gets up to, you got 8 or 9 or 10 people coming every week for soul winning. Are you able to give them a warm visit every week? You had 10 families visiting your church, so you can give all 5 of these couples 2 visits each? Our church wasn't that way. So you have to have a forum for these people coming to have something that they're doing. Okay, it's the Great Commission. It's reaching people. So your adult Bible class is how you reach out to people. Now, I may have a visit for our class. I may be able to give, Tony, I may be able to give he and Tony a visit and say, hey, you guys go visit this person. They visited our church and what? Okay, and we give them a street so that now we are reaching our city. You heard Pastor Chappell say how many doors were knocked on last year, 452,000 doors. That's because on Tuesday nights and on Saturday mornings, when we have our soul winning visitation, we call it on Saturday mornings, called a faithfulness rally. When those people come, they will come and they will line up. All the people will be sitting there, we'll get a challenge, and then we have baskets. So there's a Crosspoint basket, there's a basket for 55 adult Bible classes. Well, somebody in that class goes to where their teacher, who's standing beside the basket, and he may say, hey, we don't have any visits, but I got this street. I want you to knock on it. Well, it's a street out of their section. And I will say, hey, I got this street. Somebody on my class is going to go knock on this section. So that is how we are doing the Great Commission. What happens if somebody gets saved? Great. We immediately put them into an adult Bible class. And we're following up with them. So somebody gets saved, and they're in the 35 to 44 ballpark. There are a couple classes like that. But our Crosspoint will get one like that. This guy got saved at church. We had a guy got saved at our church the other week. We followed up on him from the class. He got baptized Sunday night. Okay, now our job is to get him plugged into our class. How else are you going to do it if not through Sunday school? Somebody comes, they get saved. Who are you going to give them to disciple them? You're going to make, Grandpa Moses, who's 93, is he your only discipler? Or are you going to try to get somebody from that class to disciple that person? So that's why this Sunday school is so important for implementing the Great Commission. It's a strategy. 2 things about its nature. Number one, it is strategic. The philosophy of Sunday school is defined and made certain. It's strategic. Now, there are 3 things that your Sunday school needs to be doing. And I want you to think through this. Number one, they need to be reaching people. How do we get that from the scriptures? How would you argue that? You're going to look at a teacher who's been teaching the same class for 15 years, and he's a phenomenal Bible teacher, but he doesn't have time to visit. And you're going to look at him and say, well, we need to reach people. Where are you going to take your proof text? From what? The Great Commission. So you're going to look and say, go ye. That's why the Sunday school is the Great Commission strategized. It's how we're going to do Matthew 28, 19 and 20, so that our Sunday schools are where we reach the lost. Matthew 28, 19 says, go. Pastor Chappell made this statement last night when he was preaching. He said, let's keep the main thing, and the main thing is... Yeah, soul winning. He didn't say it exactly like that last night, but he did last year. Let's keep the main thing is last night he said reaching people for Christ. He made a statement like that. Okay, our Sunday schools are to reach people. One of the hardest things is when you inherit a church or you have got a staid teacher who loves God and they're faithful and they've been in the church for 15 years and they're teaching a class, it takes patience to be able to sit down and explain to them why they have to go reach people. If all you do is say, hey, you need to get out and reach people, man, you need to do the Great Commission, well, then, you know, that's cold and it's right. But you've got to be able to get them to understand our purpose is not just to teach the Bible. That's what I do. I'm the pastor, you know. Our purpose is to reach people. That's the purpose of an adult class. It's to reach people, to do the Great Commission. Number two, the strategic nature is not just to reach people. It is to see people changed. It is for change, the transformation of life. After somebody gets saved, what should be happening to them? Next, the first step after salvation is obviously what? Baptism. What do you do with somebody after that? Yeah, we should, shouldn't we? Okay, don't answer the question. This is the rhetorical, not to answer question. Don't nod, don't look, convicted, don't look proud, you know. Somebody gets saved and baptized, how do we get them into discipleship? So who does it? What material are you using? What's your plan? When does it happen? Who does it? If you aren't running your evangelism through your Sunday school, how can you guarantee it's effective? What happens if you have a big day and five people get saved? Can one person disciple all of them? Okay, that's why we need an effective plan. Our Sunday school is to reach people, but our Sunday school is involved in transformation of lives. It helps to, when the pastor of your church is preaching, the Sunday school, the adult Bible classes, is the hands-on, bottom shelf arm of sitting down with somebody and saying, hey, you know, pastor was preaching Sunday, he made that statement about alcohol. And I know you've talked to me about alcohol before. What are you going to do with that? You know, what are you going to do with the truth that we heard Sunday? Sunday school and it's reaching into discipleship is how we implement the Great Commission. So it is reaching people. It is changing people, seeing lives changed. The average adult Bible class teacher is not going to argue with this. They're going to say, absolutely, I need to be a teacher. Absolutely, I need to get God's word, but I'm going to stay in all day Saturday to study. Well, there are a lot of things wrong with that. Number one, you need to be studying your lesson in pieces all day long. Number two, you need to spend time with your family on Saturday. But number three, if all we do is teach, we're not doing the Great Commission. You know, the Great Commission is not just teaching. It is going and it is reaching people, seeing lives change. And number three, the Sunday school is where we send out people. Now, most times when we think of sending, we think of missionaries or church planters. You know, if I ask, is your church doing the Great Commission? You'd say, well, you know, recession, we haven't taken on a missionary in 6 months, so I guess we're not. We haven't even sent out a church planter yet. You know, I guess we're not doing the Great Commission. How do you do the Great Commission in Sunday school? Well, you go and you're reaching people and then you are sending out new teachers, new classes. If you said, John, how are y'all doing the Great Commission here? I would say, well, obviously, yeah, we're involved with heavy outreach. But we're doing the Great Commission in our adult Bible classes. We did it 13. We sent out 13 new teachers. Those 13 new teachers are growing by leaps and bounds. You know why? Because they're studying every week, and they're working to build their class, and they're working to train new leadership. Not is it just 13 teachers, it's 13 activity coordinators. And 13 class secretaries, and 13 care group leaders at least, and 13 hospitality and visitation peoples. The Great Commission, it happens in your Sunday school class as you birth new classes. So, when your class gets up and you've got some core people and you're able to birth a new one, we're doing the Great Commission. Our Sunday school is doing the Great Commission when we're going and we're reaching and we're sending. When our strategy is clear, the Sunday school will be vital in developing new leaders and birthing new units. Let's go back to our fishing boat thing. Which one's going to catch more fish? A big boat with 100 people or 12 boats of eight? Yeah, does that make sense? Okay, so that's what Pastor Chappell's vision. He made this statement in his video the other night, and I can just hear, you hear him make these statements, and I can see how it plays out. We've tried to grow our, in the, he said, the second ministry, we got into our new building, and he said, for the last parts of this decade, we've been trying to grow the church wide. How are we doing that? You know, do you hear that statement and go, well, what does he mean? The way he's growing it wide is he has taken our hub, and instead of it going so tall, he's kind of spread, taken some of the top pieces and spread them down, and now we're making the base grow wider so that now it's not just one Sunday school teacher trying to contact everybody. It's now 12 Sunday school teachers trying to contact people and build their classes. That's how we can make our churches grow wider. That's the strategy of Sunday school, okay? It's intrinsic nature. Sunday school is the only ministry that recruits its members from the outside of the church. Okay, your choir director needs somebody. He needs a new soloist. He's going to go inside the church. You know, he's not going to go down to the club and say, "Hey, man, you got a set of golden lungs. Come and be a part of our choir." You know, he's not going to do that. Sunday school. How is it going to grow? It's going to reach outside the church. It's going to, by its very nature, it doesn't say, hey, let's if we take a class of 100 and divide it into 12 classes of 8 plus four classes of 13, you know, however you want to divide our 100. If we have 12 classes of 8 and all we do is stay there, we haven't helped anything. But if those 12 classes each reach one person in a month, have we made progress? Yeah. How about if they reach one family a year? If each of these 12 classes just reaches one couple, have we made progress? Yeah. And is it more likely that it's going to happen with 12 people desperate to fill a class or one person who's got a class of 100 feeling good about himself? Okay. So that's the strategy and that's philosophy of our Sunday school. It's very strategic. Sunday school doesn't just happen. It's something we got to work to make it happen. That's what the Sunday school is. It's strategy. Number two, what an effective Sunday school does, and this is the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:19, we see go and preach and baptize and teach. So this is what we do. It does the Great Commission because the Sunday school evangelizes. It reaches people. Reaching the lost has got to be the penultimate, the highest goal of your Sunday school has got to be to reach people. Now, that's different. I came from the South. My dad's a Baptist preacher. So I've been in church 43 years and 9 months, and that 9 months was in my mom, you know? So I've been in church all my life. I'm for church, love Sunday school, love everything about it. But the average church Sunday school teacher does not think his primary goal is to reach people. He's going to say his primary goal is what? Teach. I'm going to teach. Okay, there's a shift that has to happen. If his goal is to teach, that it no longer becomes a fishing vessel. It becomes a, yeah, houseboat, yeah. It just becomes a great place for everyone to do life and have a great time together. Now, our classes need to do that. But our ultimate goal has got to be that we have to reach people. So our adult Bible class teachers, Brother McKinley back in here is a great teacher. He's taken over. He's been in a transition year. He's taken over. His ultimate goal is going to be to reach people. That's the Great Commission. If we're not reaching, we're not doing the Great Commission. Okay, so our job is to evangelize the lost. God loves the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So God loves people, and we are to evangelize, and it is to be our ultimate goal. Number two, and not only to evangelize, the goal of Sunday school is to edify. The Sunday school teaches people. It will have a couple common parameters. I've given you six in your notes, now six thoughts, and I just throw these out here, and I want to kind of talk about equipping, and having said that, I want to get to some practical things in your questions. Your Sunday school to edify needs to be Bible-focused. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Pastor Chapel has made a concerted effort in our adult Bible classes to teach the Bible. July 17th, this Sunday, we start an expositional quarter. We're going to go 13 weeks. We're a little bit off. We were supposed to have started July 3rd, and then with a couple things that happened, ours is 2 weeks off. But you know, our whole, all of our adult Bible class teachers, 56 of them, are going to be teaching the book of James. So we are going to be Bible. Say, well, you know, aren't there other classes to teach? If you think of your 52 weeks in quarters, the first quarter of the year, we usually teach Pastor Chapel's theme. And next year, the theme is, yeah, right. Okay, so we're going to teach the theme. So all of our lessons are going to be about that. The second quarter, then that is where some teachers, the adult Bible class teachers, can say, hey, I'm a couples class. I want to teach something on couples. So I'm going to, you know, and then we'll help them provide curriculum. The hard thing with that is some guy reads a book, and it's a great book. It's just doesn't have any Bible in it. You know, it's a lot of theory. You know, now you're speaking my language, you know, and it's great. But where do you get Bible verses for all these touchy-feely good things? Our Bible classes need to be Bible minded. We need to make sure that we're teaching the Bible. In our third quarter of every year, we're going to be expositional. So we're going to teach you the book of the Bible. This year it's James, and we're using Warren Wiersbe's book. We've had to write, get copyright permissions, change whatever we wanted to change and fix it. But we're all going to be teaching through, and we're going to study the book of the Bible in one of our quarters. Then our last quarter of the year, we're going to be back into specifics for the groups. But it needs to be Bible-focused. Number two, it needs to be change-driven. Teaching them to observe all things. Our classes are not just there to entertain. We want to see change happening. Number three, it needs to be age appropriate. I don't know, particularly in smaller churches, many times when I first went to our church in Louisville, we were running right at about 100, and we just had one adult Bible class. And in that class, we had the 18-year-old kid who didn't go off to college, so he stayed there. And we also had 96-year-old Art. Okay, it was just a dynamic blend of people. You know, you have some people who've been in there 20 years, and you got some people who've just walked in this for the first time. They graduated from high school. Okay, it wasn't effective, and what we did quickly was start to break it down to age-appropriate classes. Here we call them life stages. Often you hear it called station in life. So that way we can get young couples together, young families, which are those that have children together, parents with teenagers, empty nesters. Think of ways that you can, and look at your demographics in your Sunday school, and think of how you can make age appropriate classes. So you will have some who don't want to graduate. You know, they're 45 and they need to move up to the next group, and you know, because their class probably stopped at like 39 and they're still in it. But the best and most effective ways are age appropriate classes. And so what, Pastor, how does this happen? You know, Pastor Chapel will stand up and once a year he said, now look, it's time some of you guys just graduate on up to your next class. You know you're too old for that class, you need to move on up, and that kind of helps people move up a little bit. But age appropriate classes are the best. Number letter D, quarterly minded. We think of our curriculum as quarters. So we have four quarters that we are getting curriculum for. And I told you, unified, we will have guided studies, we'll have expositional, and then we will have some more guided studies in the two quarters of the year. Our classes are fellowship oriented. And don't want to set off a new wave of, you know, concern here. But let me ask you this. If people don't fellowship in Sunday school, where are they going to do it? Okay, together out in the parking lot, not if it's hot, not if you're on the East Coast and it rains every Sunday, you know. They're not going to fellowship in the main worship center or worship service because you're preaching. So your classes have to have fellowship in mind. For us, our classes, our Sunday school lasts for an hour and a half. It's what we kind of plan our time. The first 15 minutes is fellowship. I don't start my class until 9:15. The class starts at 9, but for the first 15 minutes, we're chewing the fat. We're talking about life. We're talking about this. We're engaging. We're finding out how things went. We're fellowshipping. After that, we will have the next 15 minutes. We do our preliminaries, our songs, our announcements, our fact, and we'll have some kind of a random question we'll chat about, you know, just something in the news. And then we have our Bible study for 30 minutes, and then we have a time of prayer. So that we're building fellowship into our classes. If people aren't fellowshipping, if your Bible teacher is speaking for 45 minutes, then by the time they get ready for the preaching, they're out. you know, they're out like a light, particularly if they're in the auditorium Bible class and they stay there at the same seat for church. Not much is happening during that morning service. It has to be a place of fellowship. And that means in class, outside of class, care groups. We're using the phrase do life together. Let's do life together. So in my class, I want to do life with my people. That means I'm having them over on Friday night. You know, we got together the other night, and we've just had a cookout and had some of them over and have some over. There's two or three times we've had them over in the last couple months. We're doing life, doing fellowship. Your class is letter number six, or number six is they must be discipleship ready. We have curriculums where when somebody gets saved, they can get right into discipleship. Sunday night, if you were here, you saw that we voted in almost 70 people. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to those people this week. The teacher looks at them and says, if they haven't already been in that class, but they're visiting the class, come in. I'm so glad you're here. They will find out, you know, did you join by salvation or by baptism, or did you join by transfer? Hey, we're glad you're here. Have you been through discipleship? Oh, I'd encourage you to do that. We sit down with you, and we take the Bible and help you to grow. It's a 20-week course that we have here, and we'll give you the curriculum that's going to happen in this next week. We have right now 129 people involved in discipleship that have been saved within the last, you know, however long, and we keep counts. We're trying to get them in, and they go through 20 weeks. They graduate. When they graduate, Pastor Chapel gives them a certificate on Wednesday night, makes it a big deal. The church claps, and it's a great thing when they get through discipleship, but we're doing the Great Commission. The job of Sunday school is to evangelize, to edify, and to equip. The Sunday school develops leaders. A couple things here. Continuing education modules for teachers. I teach our teachers every month, once a month. Now, I won't have a lesson this long, but I'll have a 25-minute lesson. Last week, it's on how do you do life. Next month, it's on care group leaders. How do the care group leaders function in the church? And these materials, you can get most of them on ministry127.com, but we're training our teachers constantly, training new teachers, birthing new classes, four ideas about new classes. And this is something that Pastor Chapel helped our church to see the importance of. New classes equals new people equals new growth. New classes, new people, new growth. That's the purpose of new classes. Training new teachers. New classes keep the church growing wider. Keep the church base growing wider. New classes mean more laborers getting out of the bleachers and getting in the game. And new classes equals more souls. So that's why Pastor Chapel's vision has been to make the base grow wider so that more people are out fishing. Practical, down-to-earth questions. We have about, I'm going to guess, 7 minutes. Sure. You're talking about the last parts. New classes keep the church growing wider. Through continuing education modules for teachers. Sorry about that. And the other two is by training new teachers and by birthing new classes. Training new teachers, birthing new classes. Brother Waddell.
Could you briefly explain the function of the care group ministry?
Okay. Our adult Bible classes, let's suppose our class has about 25 on the roll. And we just birthed our class April. April, we started a brand new class called Cross Point. When we did, of the Pioneer members, we had talked to some people and said, hey, is there any chance the Lord would ask you to maybe put in your heart to go help us birth a class? Well, these were core people who were involved, and they were core people in a different class. And Brother Tony's, in fact, two of our care group leaders are here. And they came with us, but with the idea of you're coming to this class, and now you're going to be a care group leader, which means that in your care group, you'll have maybe three couples. And so they will contact the couple with an email, keep up with them with a phone call. The wife will call them. They may have them over the house once a while. But their job is to help tie knots. So it's not just one teacher tying a knot with 24 people. It's one teacher with, I say we have 25 people. I've got three care group leaders, and they're tying knots with four different couples every week. And so this is how we keep our church tight and close, even though it's a massive church. And the people who go to the first service don't know the people that go to the second service unless they come Sunday night. So care group leaders are huge in that. If somebody gets sick, Tony's one of our care group leaders, somebody gets sick in his care group, then he is going to function and try to contact him and say, can we get you all a meal maybe tonight? And maybe he'll get somebody else in his care group leader to do one another night. And that's how we would help provide care. Our care group leaders will find out, as they're contacting people, they're going to find out so-and-so's child has got pneumonia for the third time in 6 months. Okay, they pass that on to the teacher. The teacher passes it up to the education pastor, and we'll pass it all the way up to Pastor Chapel. But that's the way Pastor Chapel can know what's going on in the families. So once a week, I'll go into a meeting with Pastor Chapel. Brother Furso and I will go in, and I'll just have a list of people that the care group leaders have reported back. You know, this one's going through a hard time. This one lost their job. And many times Pastor will say, hey, let's do something for this family. They've been here a long time. They're going through. That's how we can connect people to Pastor Chapel. And even though they may think, he didn't even see me this week, but yet we're still reporting back. And so the care group leaders are crucial and vital nerve endings to help us know how our class is doing. There's a lot of information on our website on how you can get the care group information. And we're doing a series, and we're going to try to get our teachers' lessons to where you can get them on Ministry 127 and kind of have them and listen to them. Other questions? Yes, sir. No, it's just... it's something that we created, but I'll tell you what, I'll give you my email, and if you email me, I can give you the information and the 8 lessons that we have, everything from how to run your class, what do you do in the class, and then you can take it, run with it, change it, edit it, put your name on the top of it, and I'm fine. So just email me. I've got my card up here afterwards. Before a new teacher starts off, we try to equip them so that when they're starting, they're not like going, wow, what do I do? Okay. Yes, sir. We have, if you want in the back and you did not receive one of our Life Stages brochures, then on our way out, Brother McKinley will get that to you. Pastor Chapel will pass this out about once a quarter or so, and that way it'll tell people, and he's constantly reminding you about getting involved in an adult Bible class. Question? Yes, that's a great question. So somebody gets saved, they get baptized, and now you say to them, hey, you need to get into discipleship. Okay, so now you got Bill, and you say, Bill, I want you to disciple Jose, you know. Bill's going to go, great, how do I do it? Where do I go? Did you start in Genesis? You know. So there are some resources. There are a couple different places that have resources we use daily in the Word, and that you can get with Striving Together. With that, that's going to come up a booklet, and it's supposed to be 20 weeks. And there is, when you get that booklet, there's a DVD that Brother Christensen did a couple years ago. Many of the things in the is a little bit different now, but that's a good start so that you can hand a discipler, hey, here's the book, but here's the how-to. Then we've just done another CD that is, and that you can get on an MP3 or a PD. We can maybe get that to you. And if you'll email me, I'll try to get that to you next week. But how to do it in 20 weeks. So if you've ever done the Daily in the Word, you could get bogged down. You know, you got somebody, you're there, like somebody there 2 years in Daily in the Word, and they just graduated the other day. And I wanted to say, man, you should get a diploma. You know, somebody got a credit for that. How do you do it in 20 weeks? And that's the second part of the CD is how do you get this? How do you, discipleship, you prescribe homework. Do you ever think about that? You go, I don't want to give homework. They won't come back. They need to grow. What they need to do is get in God's Word, you know, and that's a different mindset because we're thinking, oh, I don't want to put too much on them. What a new convert needs is daily in the Word. So how do you get them in? How much homework do you prescribe? How do you run this? Our discipleship is about an hour. So, you know, how much time do you use chewing the fat? You can't just walk in, hey, I'm glad you're here. Open your Bible. Let's get right into it. Okay, you're number B. You know, you can't do that. That's impersonal. It's cold. But you can't spend the whole time talking about, you know, what's wrong with smoking, you know? So there's that blend. And the McKinleys, Brother McKinley has discipled, he and his wife have discipled 6 people or 7? 6 couples. He is leading our church in the number of people that they have discipled coming through, and they're growing. And his people he has discipled are now discipling other people. And that's 2 Timothy 2:2. And that's the teaching other men who should be able to teach others also. Okay. Questions? Yes. In fact, when you look at this brochure, we have 3 classes that are 18 to 25 years old. We have then you'll have two that are 25 to 34, three that are 25 to 34, and four. So as we see, we look at our demographics. We will run stats on our classes and on the people joining and going, where are the people in our church? Then we'll try to start new classes. Now, I will tell you where we're going and what we're looking to is the vast number of people that come and visit our church. Now we have single ladies and single moms, and we have five classes for ladies, and we're going to have to bulk that up and help with some of the single moms coming in and doing some more to try to reach them. Let me say one thing. People that are coming now are not the perfect two-car family, two children, white picket fence. You know, they're coming in, they're divorced, they're blended families. They got seven kids between two of them from two different marriages. And it's not simple and cookie. I know you must walk in and think, oh, it's simple and cookie cutter. It's not. It's a lot of work. Our teachers roll up their sleeves and we get into, you know, hey, you guys need to get married. You know, our pastors will do counseling and we'll provide a room here at the church, but you know, need to, and it's really getting down the trenches. And I know that when you guys walk in, you must see everyone wearing their tie and things like that, but it's been a lot of work to get there.
If there's three, like 18 to 25, are there distinctive differences?
No, not usually. Like we would start a new class and we would make sure that new class would get some core couples, you know, some, you can't give them all brand newbies, you know, he will die. And so. No, we would have have couples. Now we do have singles and we do have, so when you look at ours, and I'll be glad to go over it with you, you can see we got men's, ladies, singles, and everything else. Lord bless y'all. Take care. Have a great week. I'll be here. If you want to get email, I'll give you my email, and you can email me this week and pick up the brochures, all right? Lord bless you. Hope we have a great conference. Mm-hmm.